If you're a designer that cares about accessibility, you're accepted as a designer that does designy things. Whereas if you're an accessibility designer, you're expected to provide accessibility advice, which people can or cannot listen to.
Welcome to the 7-Minute Product Master Series podcast. My name is Luis Cañeda, and today I'm joined by Eric, Senior Designer in Accessibility and Design Systems at GitHub. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited and generally stoked to be here.
And to kickstart this show, give me a brief definition of accessible and inclusive design.
Sure thing. Accessible and inclusive design, there's a little bit of subtlety here. So accessible design is the practice of making sure that digital experiences, so websites, web apps, kiosks, e-readers, anything that takes an electric charge and shows you a UI is usable by disabled individuals. So that means making it friendly with assistive technology, which is totally a thing you can do. And then inclusive design is a little bit more proactive, where we try to catch folk earlier in the ideation phase and have them consider these sorts of things, with the idea that being like, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you're thinking about how would somebody who, say, can't use their arms use this interface, you can head a lot of concerns off at the pass.
Yeah, thanks for sharing those resources. And I'm curious to know, what's the biggest accessible and inclusive design mistake you've ever made, and what did you learn?
The biggest mistake I've made, and I keep making, and I think I will forever make, is just assuming that one sole process would lead to consistent results for every new engagement. And it doesn't matter how much effort and time you put into crafting a workflow, you need to know the other side of the equation. So what are they coming to you with? What are their requirements? What are their biases? All the little things that are in the back of their head that they don't think to tell you, and all the little things that are in the back of your head that you don't think to tell them. You need to be like super adaptable. You need to over-communicate just to create that shared understanding and sense of purpose. Otherwise, it's just going to blow up in your face in the weirdest ways.
So thanks for sharing that. What's the one piece of common wisdom you disagree with, and why?
Okay, this is going to be a contentious one, so bear with me. People like to say that HTML is accessible by default. So using the HTML markup language, specifically semantic markup, so an A element for a link, button element for buttons, H elements for headings, it makes things a lot easier, significantly easier, but it's a lot like you get a bucket of red Lego bricks and you're asked to make a barn. It's going to make making that barn a lot easier. But if you've never seen a barn before, if you don't know what a barn is, you can still put those Legos together in a completely like wrong way. And you can be like, ah, yes, this is a barn because I've used red bricks. And that's not true. So the way to figure out if it's a barn or not, the way to figure out if it's accessible or not, is really to test with actual people, the actual people that will be using it. And it's been just a completely positive and just incredibly meaningful and impactful step of the design process, is to put the thing you made out in front of the person who's going to use it, ask them what they think. If they use assistive technology, that's part of the equation. Listen to what they have to tell you and iterate.
And what's the best accessible and inclusive design advice you've ever received, and why?
People don't read. They skim if you're lucky. And so design is, in my opinion, like a balancing act between multiple conflicting needs and asks and wants and desires from different parts of an organization. And the way that manifests is written words and UI, but UI is just a way to contain written words. And so like part of that advice was you need to cut the content down in half and then cut it down in half again. Each word needs a reason to be there. It needs to be concise. It needs to be impactful, and it needs to be crystal clear about why we're communicating, what we're communicating, and what will happen as a result of this communication. Usually it'll start off as like, here's a feature we want to implement, and growth says we need to have these things, and marketing says we need to have these things, and legal says we need to have these things, and the CEO's pet project says we need to have these things. And by the end of it, if you do not do your job as a designer and steward that, you have a small novel on a screen or two, and it's going to work against you because, yes, you're communicating all these requirements, but people are just not going to read it. They are too busy. They are too involved in their day-to-day stuff to like care about the legal intricacies of the thing that they're going to do, or like the cool benefits they're going to get if you sign up for their subscription plus promoter program beta edition. They just don't care.
Thanks. What's working best in your design process right now?
This question gave me an identity crisis, which thank you, because I like to figure out who I am. And part of that is being an accessibility designer is a really new role for me. Historically, I've been a designer that liked accessibility, but this is the first time I've done it as like a full-time job. And there's a power dynamic shift that happens here, where if you're a designer that cares about accessibility, you're accepted as a designer that does designy things. Whereas if you're an accessibility designer, you're expected to provide accessibility advice, which people can or cannot listen to. So I'm challenged about this at work a lot of the time. And so like, I'm going back to the drawing board for like motivational strategies. And there's different tactics you have to take. Some people like flattery. Some people are inspired to do the right thing. Some people don't want to get sued. Some people don't care. Right now, back to the drawing board. But the one common thing I've been trying to do is just be very honest and direct about what I need and what I don't understand, and hope people take that at face value and understand that I'm trying to help them and I'm trying to do right by the people that we serve.
The next question, what's the one thing every accessible and inclusive designer should learn?
Sure. That is, disabled people exist and they face multiple barriers to using the web in its current state, and that it is our responsibility to make this not true.
Wow. Short and to the point. On to the last question. What's the one thing you've learned about yourself recently that changed the way you work?
I think perfectionism kills. The idea of perfectionism is tied back to some really not great concepts, and it is also entirely subjective. And so in striving for it, you can do a lot of damage both to your users, but also yourself. And I think it's far better to approach a problem and be adaptable rather than trying to create an air quote perfect solution, because it's a lot like the word interesting. It's neutral. It means nothing.
Yeah. So thanks, Eric, for joining us today and sharing all those insights with our audience.
Thanks, Lewis. This was a lot of fun.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.